funniest thing, I was in a business meeting down in Atlanta, Georgia, with a bunch of attorneys and state legislators from Atlanta. And I had totally forgot to silence my phone. And the ringtone on my phone was Toby Keith's I Ain't As Good As I Once Was. So in the middle of this meeting with all these high-ranking people, off goes my phone, and I grabbed it, and I'm like, oh, my God, and I silenced it.
Can you sing, can you dance, pull a rabbit from your pants, make a rhyme, tell a joke, burp when you drink a Coke? That's not a talent. Nope. Jump a hurdle, do a flip, get your dog to do a trick. Top talent.
Top talent.
Play piano, play guitar, hit a ball really far. Are you a superstar? Let's find out who you are. That's the end of this song. It's already too long. Top talent. Everybody.
Top talent.
This is my podcast. Can't sing this anymore because the words are too fast. Yeah, better start the show or I'm not going to last. Top talent. Let's get at it. Top talent.
With me, Rhyming Richie.
Well, I'd like to welcome all seven of you back to my podcast, Top Talent. This is the podcast that originates from the capital of New York, which is Albany and the surrounding area. We feature talent of all kinds. People that live in the area, people that are coming to the area, people that left the area and come back, people that have come back and tried to make it famous, people who have made it famous, actually. And I'm trying to mix it up here. Coming to the capital region... And I'm sure this is going to be after the fact, but we had Randy Travis here for an up-close and personal concert/conversation with he and his wife, talking about his greatest hits. Do you imagine that we had him here? But again, this has been recorded right before he came, and I'm going to be performing some of his hits right in front of him, which is just a scary thought. And so are the other two people that I'm working with, the very talented Jenna Sue and the very talented, equally talented Mark Pierre. This is my conversation with Mark Pierre, who's going to be doing a couple of Randy's hits as well. And we're all involved in this show. Once again, it probably has already happened, but you can feel the excitement in the voices as we talk about this show coming up. This is the Randy Travis show that happened here in the Albany area on 9/11. And I'm talking with my friend, old neighbor, Mark Pierre, here on
Top Talent.
All right, I'm here with old friend, old neighbor, fellow performer, music lover, songwriter. He's written some hits. I think they're hits. Mark Pierre.
How are you, Rich?
I'm doing good, and you're calling from where are you, Mark?
I am... You know, of all the crazy things, you know, of us in the musical world, my wife and I pulled into a parking lot and we are waiting to go in and see an old band I was part of, Big Sky Country. So we're, we're not only are we always out playing, we're always out listening too. So.
I tell you, that's great. And traveling too. You're like world travelers. You just came back from Nashville, didn't you?
Yeah, we were in Nashville in May and then Gatlinburg earlier in July and
right.
And heading to Maine tomorrow morning.
That's right. You were in Dolly Parton land there because we stayed there. We stayed in a – we used to have a timeshare around there. Right in
Pigeon Forge.
Pigeon Forge, yeah. How did you like that?
I'll tell you, Dollywood was incredible.
Yeah,
I mean that park. I mean, when everybody talks about Disney, I mean it is probably one of the most pristine parks you can go to. I mean, the rides were incredible, the live shows were amazing, and again, you wouldn't expect anything less. Dolly Parton owned place. You knew the country music and the musical shows were going to be phenomenal, and it really was.
Did you go to that? There was like a. Like a theater where they feed you dinner. I don't know if they do it now because maybe of the pandemic, but they fed you dinner and then they had, I think Dolly Parton owns the theater too.
Yes. So she has a couple of them down there and I don't know if she owns, they had the Stampede, which was the horse show. And then we actually went to, the Hatfields and McCoys and it was, like a live musical show and it was really good. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah. What we saw there was incredible too, but we're involved, you and I and, Jenna Sue and of course, Kevin Richards is putting it on. We're involved in the most exciting show. I got to ask you, I'm going to ask you right up front. What was it like when Kevin Richards, who was putting this thing together, called Mark Pierre and told him what he wants you to do?
You know, it's funny, you know, and you probably have the same feeling. I mean, you and I have played in some crazy places in front of huge crowds and everything else. And I think that the butterflies that went through my stomach as soon as he mentioned that I'd actually be doing Randy Travis songs in front of Randy Travis was like, oh my God. I mean, this is a guy who's an icon. I mean, Randy Travis and Garth Brooks were like my idols growing up. I mean, you know, and again, in the early 80s, this was it. This was the guy.
Absolutely.
I had every album. I mean, I listened to it in the car constantly. I mean, I could sing the words to every song. It's still funny, you know, to this day, everybody would bring up a Randy Travis song and I could pretty much sing every word because I knew in my heart because I was that they were all my favorite songs.
Yeah. And what's weird about him, though, we can get into his whole story. In fact, I just heard his I got his audio book, it's not autobiography, but biography of him. What a story of how he bucked tradition by pushing traditional country music at a time when it was not in vogue. I mean, they were trying to go with modern country, and he just pushed and pushed and pushed.
Yep. Well, the icons like Randy and Garth and Toby Keith and some of the icons that are my generation of icons, you know, they did push the limits and they created their own niche and they were all unique. I mean, you know, when Randy sings a song, as soon as the song comes on, you know, it's him.
Exactly. There's,
you know, it's like, Randy Travis. You know,
yeah.
And all of his songs were just, they either made you laugh, smile, or cry.
Yeah.
But they all had, you know, and I'm such a sap for those story songs. And his stories were the best. I mean, they were awesome.
And he liked, and I was listening to this book, he liked to pick songs that had a little humor in them. You know, he liked those things. You know, and that's the beauty of country music. It can be novelty songs. It can make you cry, like you said, make you laugh. And the name of this show, again, is Up Close and Personal, and we are getting up close and personal with Randy Travis, and it's going to be
Oh my God,
at the Charles Woods Theater.
I don't know about you, but I'm still very nervous about actually getting to meet him.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's like this is, you know, I always laugh, you know, you get a meet and greet behind at a concert where you walk up and they take a quick picture and move you on.
Yeah.
To be actually part of a show with somebody, you know, at this level is just incredible to me.
Exactly. And just to paint the picture, you're going to do a couple of songs up front. We're doing kind of like a medley of his hits up front, like part one of the show, right?
Yep.
And this, you might as well tell them one of the songs you're doing.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm it's actually one of my all-time favorites by Randy Travis. He walked on water and my dad is suffering from Alzheimer's right now. And I go up on Wednesday nights and give my mom a little bit of a break so she can go out and play dominoes with the girls. And when I'm up there, I'll actually sing this song for him. And I don't know who gets, I get a lot more emotional than he does.
Yeah.
Because it really, you know, it my dad walks on water with me too. So it's like, and I can imagine, you know, when he wrote this song, what it was like to put this out on a radio, you know, talking about his grandfather. And it's an amazing song. And I hope we do it justice when we do it, because that's my only fear. It's like, how do you do anything like Randy Travis?
In front of Randy Travis, for God's sakes.
I know.
No, I can't even picture it. Every day, I think of it every single day. It's just, it's amazing. And this is going to happen for everyone listening here on 9/11. And there's two shows. We're going to be doing two shows at 3:00 and 6:00, right?
Yeah, and I was looking at the tickets. I mean, they're almost sold out.
Yeah.
I think there's only a handful of tickets left, and I know I've got a lot of family and friends coming too. And you know, I've had so many amazing compliments from friends and that are in shock that I'm actually getting the opportunity to play such a cool show. So I can't wait.
I really can't wait. He's such a unique talent. I remember when I started on the WGNA on the station there, we really hadn't made a total commitment to country music in a way in the beginning until a newer company came in. We used to really play more sleep. I guess the best way to describe it is more sleepy country yep. songs, more traditional country songs. And then a new company came in with a younger group of people that were running it, and they said, "No, no, no, we want to, you know, we want to modernize country music. We want to make it modern." And he was the one holdout, was Randy Travis, and I don't think yep. stations didn't know what to do with him at that point.
Well, and think about it. Songs like Forever and Ever, Amen. I don't yeah. care if you were pop, rock, country. That song had just such a following. It yeah. was like everybody knew that song.
That's right.
And Randy, when he was in his younger days, was, I mean, the guy was kind of a cool guy. I mean, he was pretty buff. I mean, he was always, you could tell he worked out. He was in incredible shape and good looking guy. And the girls all loved him. And I think guys, even on the countryside like me, that, you know, people who were real fans of country music, I mean, we all looked up to him because yeah. he was just a kind of a cool guy.
Yeah.
He was great in an interview. He was always kind of, you know, just a, you know, that was a great time for country music for sure.
He used to work in the kitchen and he would be pulled out and, you know, sing a couple of songs. That's how it really started. He was like a dishwasher and a cook. It's a great story. And it's for anybody who sings and plays and is out there playing right now in the area or anywhere. You have to listen to his story because how many times he was turned down and he never, ever gave up.
Yep.
Yeah. By every record company, he was turned down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And it's a story you hear over and over with some of the biggest stars in country music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, and I guess that for, you know, some of the younger folks, I mean, obviously I'm a little long in the tooth, not, they're not putting me on any tour bus anytime soon, but, but, you know, for the younger folks, I think it's a real encouragement when you listen to these, you know, folks like Randy's story, you know, it tells you that, you know, you've got to really hang in there.
You really do.
Because a lot of times they're at their very low when they find out that they're going to be the next big thing.
That's
you
right.
know? And you just never know when it's going to happen.
Well, even Garth Brooks went to Nashville and went home about 2 months yeah. later with his tail between his legs. He was turned down, right?
Well, he was ready to throw it in. And then I think it was, I forget which song it was. I think it was, I forget now, but
maybe Much Too Young to Be This Old or.
Well, that was his first one. I think one of his first ones on the radio, but he had,
Sorry, copyright restrictions. I had to reverse it.
Right.
That was his big hit. And right. that was like that song became number one and became his iconic first big hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, the dance and Friends in Low Places and every album that followed. But, you know, and like Randy, I mean, that whole album with Randy Travis, I can remember I knew every word to every song. And I think almost every other song on the album became a number one hit.
Yeah.
It was incredible. It was like, you know, and I already knew all the songs. So when they were coming out on the radio, I was like, yeah, know that one.
But you know, he had an album before that, and he used to go by Randy Ray. I think that was his first name because his real last name is Treywick, right? Randy yeah. Treywick. And yeah. Then he finally picked Travis for Merle Travis. That's how he named his last name after the country artist, a traditional country artist named Merle Travis.
You're listening to Top Talent with Mark Pierre, just one of the performers, along with Jenna Sue and yours truly, performing at the Randy Travis Up Close and Personal Concert / Conversation. That's already happened, probably, by the time you hear this. It's happening on 9/11. Well, let's get back to the conversation here on Top Talent.
But getting, or changing the subject there, you had a little bit of an experience going to Nashville, and it must have given you the idea of what it was like, you know, to hit the streets in Nashville and try to push a song. Can you tell us a little bit about that? It was really interesting.
So the interesting thing was, you know, of course I was, you know, in my mid 40s before I even started writing music and really getting into the, you know, obviously being a big fan of country music. But I started, I wrote a couple of songs in my late 40s and started trying to figure out how to market them. And it was the funniest thing. I was in a business meeting down in Atlanta, Georgia, with a bunch of attorneys and state legislators from Atlanta. And I had totally forgot to silence my phone. And the ringtone on my phone was Toby Keith's I Ain't As Good As I Once Was. So in the middle of this meeting with all these high ranking people, off goes my phone, and I grabbed it. And I'm like, oh my God. And I silenced it. And one of the lead attorneys looks at me. He goes, when we're done here, I want to have a word with you. And I said, okay. You know, and I'm thinking he's going to scold me for having my phone go off.
Right.
And instead he pulls me aside and he goes, I don't know if you knew this, but I don't live here. I live actually in Nashville. And at the time he was representing Ricochet. And he represented some songwriters down there. And the girl who wrote Breathe for
Faith Hill.
And he was telling me about that girl. And he goes, I started telling him how I was writing some music. And he goes, well, if you ever want to come down, I'd love to show you around. And he ended up bringing me to BMI and ASCAP, introducing me to folks. And within like 4 months, I actually got a call from an email from one of the guys I'm trying to remember, his last name was Green. And he was worked with Zac Brown Band, and he asked if they could put one of the songs on hold. And it was pretty exciting. About four or five months, a song, you probably remember the song I wrote, Overtime, about my dad.
It's a great song.
And then they ended up kind of holding it for a while, and they never did publish it, but it was like, it just kind of told me, okay, you know, my music was okay.
That's what an accomplishment, though, just to even be heard. Yeah. I mean, no less to get that. That's great. So did you ever think of pursuing it more?
You think about it. I mean, unfortunately, I guess fortunately for me, I've been very blessed with my career in my life. So I've never taken the music thing has always been secondary to my real career and my family. So I wasn't willing to take that leap at that point in my life and get down there and really pursue it. I always said if I was 22 at the time, I think I would have packed everybody up and we would have moved down and I would have given it a shot.
I know.
And I'm not trying to sound boastful or anything, but you know, I it's something that I really have a passion for and I love the music thing. And I always tell people, I think Luke Combs just wrote a song called Doing This, and you know as well as I do at our age. Well, you know, if I wasn't doing this, I'd still be doing this. And that's what I always tell people. That song was perfect, you know, for guys like us, because we just love the music.
Yeah.
And we love the performing. And I still enjoy every day of it.
And you got to enjoy everything that goes with it if you're really going to try to make a go of it. It's a rough road. Oh, man.
It is. Yeah. It is.
I know. Everybody thinks you get discovered. Like you're just sitting there and then somebody discovers you out of nowhere and makes you a star. You know.
It's great in theory.
That's right. who do you think today in today's country would be considered like Randy Travis-ish?
Yeah, you know, I just mentioned Luke Combs. I mean,
right.
Luke is one of those guys who just came out of the blue, mm-hmm. and it's not just his voice. It's the whole package. The songs he writes are just incredible, and they tell stories, and we haven't had that in a long time. I think he's amazing.
But actually, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say the other one that, you know, I don't know who writes his songs, but Scotty McCreery, some of his stuff.
That's right.
I really get that, you know, that deep voice and that real, you know, it just pulls you right in. Mm-hmm. When his hits hit the radio.
How about Kane Brown? Now, there's a guy that had to really, really change the perception of country music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's incredible.
He's great.
And you look at him and even Jimmy Allen. I mean, they're just such big personalities. And again, they are changing the perception to a 2022 view of country music. And I love the fact that everyone now, and again, I think this is important across the board with society. You know, when you turn off, there's no picture on radio or music.
Right.
You know, you're listening to a great voice singing a great song, and that's all it should matter. I give these guys a lot of credit. They're really breaking a lot of ground these days.
But when you think about it, with today's country, it's very, very pop. And I started thinking about all the different people who are traditional. I think there's more traditional artists now, and I think it's harder to break that stereotype of country. You know, like you got Kane Brown, you got Luke Combs, Miranda Lambert is still kind of, you know, she can be traditional. Yep. Justin Moore, Ashley McBride.
Funny thing is, and you know as well as I do, when you're out playing, and especially when you're playing in a local establishment that's, you know, you're doing mainly cover tunes and you're just kind of going in there and performing on a Saturday or a Friday night. The one thing that still blows my mind is that when the younger people come up and request songs, they're not requesting the pop sounding stuff.
They're asking
for George Strait. They're asking for Randy Travis. I had three Randy Travis songs requested last Friday night at Nashville at Saratoga. And I laughed. I knew two of them, and one of them I had to actually look up. I was like, wow, I haven't heard that song in so long. I think I can figure it out. So I had to look up the chords for it, but it was like, that is so cool. And it's like, and the younger folks love the old country.
You know, it makes me think that it's the people like you who go out and perform and play in these places. They should be the consultants, and you should be the consultant for broadcast, because I really don't believe, you know, you talk to like radio programmers and a lot of times I don't think they believe it.
No, they don't get it. And in fact, the younger people, there's a young bartender up there, and I gotta believe she's in her mid 20s.
Right.
And she always said, and I always said to her, I said, like, who's your favorite current country artist? And she goes, you. And I started laughing. I go, get out of here. She goes, no. She goes, Mark, you sing songs that are real country. She goes, you can't get that on the radio anymore. And I went, well, thank you. After I hugged her and cried a little, I just, you know, it was like, it's amazing that the young people who really love country, they still love all those classics. And I do a 3-song medley with, you know, the Waylon Jennings and Merle Haggard and it's like those songs are hits. And I still do 3 Wooden Crosses almost every show when I play,
which is,
and people, I get everybody singing along. They love that song.
And yet, you know, I shouldn't be blasting programmers because they, you know, they use statistics and it is true when they do their studies, you know, and they play the songs that they've studied and test marketed, the ratings do go up. But it's just weird. But when you go out and you meet the public, this is the answer that you get. These are the comments that you get. So it's very confusing.
And how many times did we ever hear that? I mean, there was always that ongoing joke for the longest time. It's like, you know, even people who were country fans go, you know, you can't, when the country started rapping, and they started going, no, you know what happens when you mix country with rap? You know, you get crap. And it's the truth. Most people really weren't, you know, there were some young people who were tuning in and requesting that stuff. But the real country fans, you know, they still love, you know, that's, again, I think that's what shot Luke Combs to the stars. You know, it's like, you know, they're people are starving for that down home country sound again. I recently did it, and it's funny. I recently did a 90th birthday party for the local drummer's mom, who used to come out and listen to me back in the day, and she's always liked the way I sing. So he called me up. He goes, "Would you mind playing a little music for her 90th birthday?" I said, "I'd love to." So I went up with my guitar. And I still laughed at most of the people in there were, you know, there was a lot of seventies, late seventies, eighties, and even nineties in there.
Yeah.
And I remember I sang Lee Greenwood's "Proud to Be an American."
God bless the USA. Yeah.
God bless the USA. And I almost died because they all stood up and held their hands on their hearts when I sang it. Wow. I might as well have been singing the national anthem to them.
I think that could be the next national anthem. I think they should have changed it. It's such a great song.
It is a beautiful song.
It really is
an incredible song. Yep.
So if you want to hear Mark Pierre live, you've got to go to the Randy Travis show. But again, there's not that many tickets left, right? That's what Kevin told me as well.
No, and I think I saw if there's 30 tickets, 30 or 40 tickets for the two shows left, I'd be surprised.
Ooh.
Insert comment here. It sold out. but it wasn't sold out as of this recording, but it is now.
That's exciting. I've got so many friends that are coming, and I've got so many people who have told me they can't wait to see this show. And I'm, you know, I'm going to be one of those ones where I hope I remember to get up, and I'll be so mesmerized in what's going on the stage with Kevin and Randy. I just got to make sure I remember our cue. So I'll help you if you help me.
Going to be two of the most nervous people in the world. I know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
God. We both have said that so far. It's like, this is probably one of the most intimidating shows I've ever done. And, I mean, and we both met and sang in front of some pretty incredible people. So yeah. It's pretty neat.
It's very, very neat. Yeah. Well, I can't wait to work with you again. And it's going to be great. Thank you for being part of the podcast. And I hope everybody enjoys the show who's already bought the tickets. Thank you very much for buying the tickets, I'm sure. And we got to thank Kevin Richards for bringing this era of country music back to the Capital Region, because he's got a lot of stuff planned.
Kevin was a teenager when he started all this stuff.
He was 13.
And it is absolutely amazing what he's accomplished.
Yeah.
And what he still continues to accomplish in the name of country music in such a small market space like upstate New York.
I know.
The guy is a local icon and will always be. And what he's done for this community with country music is incredible.
And I just love when he goes 5, 6, 7, 8. You know what I mean? When he does the line dancing.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, Mark, thanks a lot. And say hello to your wife and your family and everybody. Wait, is Lisa sitting right next to you in the truck listening to you?
She's actually standing outside the car waiting for
me. Wow, she's been there the whole time? All right. Well, tell her I said hello.
I will tell Dory I said hello, and can't wait to see you guys in a couple of weeks.
Thank you again for listening to this podcast. If you know anybody that has a talent that you would like me to interview, and again, it can be musical, it can be dancing, it can be painting, it can be... we had people that refinished our kitchen cabinets who I thought were very talented. Talent comes in many, many forms. You can email me at richie1077@gmail.com, or you can go to my Facebook page, which is Richie Phillips at Facebook. I also have another one, Ryman Richie, but nobody can spell Ryman. But it is Ryman, R-H-Y-M-I-N Richie. On Facebook, you can send me a private message or whatever you want to do, and I will get you on here. I have a lot of other people on the approach ramp to be interviewed, and I'm really looking forward to keeping this podcast going. Thanks a lot, and see you next time on
Top Talent.
Check out the website at hirerichie.com. He is on Facebook at Ricky Phillips and Twitter at Ryman Richie. Thanks for listening, and please subscribe and leave a comment. He reads them in bed. It makes him very happy.
Top Talent!